Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Stephanie Patterson, a.k.a. Lady Oracle Tarot, and with me is my cohort in consciousness, Linda Jane Becker, a meditation teacher, healer, and author of Living with Soul. And today's show, we are really looking forward to. So, Linda, how are you doing? You're just back from vacation.
I'm doing very well, leaving very chilly L.A. and coming here with freezing Oregon. I don't know about this winter. I certainly like it when it's warmer. But, yes, did very good. Had a wonderful Christmas, and it was very nice. But I'm glad to be home. You're always glad to come home. And very anxious to hear about what 2015 has in store for us. I have my pen and paper right here because I love taking notes.
Because I know this year is
going to be spectacular. I mean, I'm feeling this energy just pushing us forward, you know. It's just amazing, this energy that's shifted into me. But I see it in a lot of other people. We're really being pushed. So maybe you could explain a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely we are. I think from the – let's take a brief overview of last year. We had some challenging moments with cardinal grand crosses. Those are extremely challenging configurations. It's like two or three cross squares, which are 90-degree aspects between planets. Those are always challenging. But the theme of last year was drop it. Get it out of there. Sweep your area clean. Sweep your mind clean. Get rid of the junk. And I think we both experienced some of that calling to get ready, get your stuff in order, because we're going to take off like crazy this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's take a look starting, I think this year it's more pivotal. So we could go over what happened last year, but we've been there. We've done that. So let's jump off right away. Starting tomorrow, Venus moves into Aquarius. Now, Aquarius is an air sign in the sixth modality, which means its traits stay the same. They're not cardinal. They don't start with a lot of firepower. But what they are is I lost my train of thought. I got so excited. But what those signs do is they're stable. So here we are with this transit of Venus. Venus is the goddess of love. There's a lot of charisma associated with Venus. So at first, Venus seems a little bit emotionally detached in Aquarius, but that's not the entire story. Venus in Aquarius is everybody's friend, and that covers a large variety of people. Like I say, there's a lot of charisma, but there's also that Aquarian love of freedom. So what I want to tell our listeners is during this transit, it's not the time to resolve deep, abiding issues in your relationship. Venus is in the water bearer, and Aquarians like an open road, and they don't like hassles. So try to stay mindful of that. Like I said, it's an air sign. So the tarot cards associated with this transit, for Venus is the Empress. That's number three of the major arcana. This is abundance and prosperity. This is nurturing. This is vast amounts of creative energy. The tarot card association for Aquarius is the Star. That's number 17. This is hope. This is inspiration. So this is the theme as we're starting this month, is this creative expansion and this taking off.
Wow, that sounds neat. I mean, I wrote down here, it's not about resolving anything was last year, correct? Or is that now? That's now, we're not to resolve anything. We're letting the energy move through us?
Yeah. You want to get on top of the waves early on. Because this is the time to start moving. Start laying your groundwork. And next week, Linda and I are doing a show on, you say you want a resolution, but do you really need one? There's rules for goal setting, and next week we're going to help our listeners go over those and kind of refine what they need to do. Astrologically speaking, we're being hugely supported right now, so it's time to get out in front of that. Now, the 4th, this Sunday, that's a big day because we've got a full wolf moon. The January moon is always called the wolf moon. It's in 14 degrees. Mm-hmm. 14 degrees and 31 minutes of Cancer. Now, Cancer's a water sign.
I've never heard
of
a wolf moon. That's the first moon of the new year?
Yeah, this is based on the old Algonquin names for when we first, Native American names, when we first, you know, came over here and we took our stuff from Old England and Europe, but the Algonquins had their own system for tracking the types of moons. That's why sometimes you hear moons spoken of in different names. But the full wolf moon, and I think that it said, it speaks about the wolves are on the moon, on the move during this time, because it's very cold in the higher regions. They're coming down. They're looking for game, coming down out of the mountains. So, yes, it's kind of cool.
Huh? Yeah.
So here we have Cancer is the, like I said, a water sign. It's also a cardinal sign, which means it's the first sign of the season, in this case summer. Cardinal energy is an instigator. It's restless, and when the full moon arrives, we can get a little edgy with that. And I just want to throw out there, if anybody's been experiencing a little bit of edginess in the last couple of days, kind of some free-floating anxiety, that's to do with this particular moon. And I'll go over that in a minute. Cancer moons are wonderful, generally speaking, because the moon is very high functioning in Cancer. We call it exalted. And the reason for that is that Cancer is the home sign for the moon. And it And so it talks about home, hearth, foundations. That's what Cancer's about. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Oh.
Oh, my thoughts are really getting loud, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what we're speaking of. We are really connected, I must say.
Well, it's
I'll try to quiet my mind.
That's all right. It's an incredibly intense time, and people should be excited for this. It's a time to keep your mindset positive and grounded, particularly during this full moon. Full moons generally are about emotions and culminations of things. Everything that we've been working for is coming into fruition during this, you know, couple of days before, 3 days afterwards of the actual full moon. So the full moon in Cancer asks us to consider the nurturing strength of our families and close friends. We need their support to refine our goals for this coming year, to set things in an appropriate pattern, to carry us through. So I think this is something, Linda, that you can speak well to, is what do you do when your friends and family are not supportive of you?
Oh, yes. You let go of them. If anybody, whether it's family or friends, if they are not supporting you on your path and helping you move forward on your path, then it's time to divorce them. It's time to let them go, to sever the relationship or accept it how it is. You always have a choice. If you can accept how they are, they're non-support, and you don't look towards them for support, they're just part of your relationship circle, that's okay too. But most of the time, the influence that comes from people, everybody influences us. So you'd have to be really cautious around people that are not supporting you. And the best thing you can do if you're strong enough and courageous enough is let go of that relationship. Bloodline or not, it doesn't matter, because time's really speeding up and we need to be circled by people that's supporting us and our movement forward as we're supporting them. If not, you're pretty much wasting your time.
I think that's
my
very
personal opinion.
Yeah, no, well said. You've got to allow yourself time during this full moon to feel the comfort and security, like I said. And what makes this moon a little bit different? This is a moon based in emotion, and it's particularly volatile because it's forming what we call a T-square, which is a combination of squares with Uranus and Pluto. And as we all know, that's been the notorious pattern over the last couple of years, the Pluto-Uranus square, because this is about upheaval and transformation and revolutionary changes in thought. So during this full moon, this is going to be activated. So you have to stay very conscious of the emotional baggage. Determine what belongs to you and what doesn't. Don't pick up somebody else's bags because you are not an emotional bellboy. Let them carry their own stuff and eliminate it. You just worry about your stuff. And
a great title. I've never heard of that. Emotional bellboy. Can I use that? Emotional bellboy.
Absolutely.
That is That's fantastic. Absolutely. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's awesome, Stephanie. That's like perfect.
Yeah, everybody out there, you start using this. You know, you're not somebody else's emotional bellboy. They carry their own bag.
Yes, awesome.
You worry about yours.
Yes,
okay,
suitcases.
Right, exactly. And what, and figure out what's packed in it. We'll talk about that on another show. But it's
mm-hmm.
important to remember to respond, not react. So somebody comes at you with an emotional overloaded situation. You've got a fraction of a second where you can pull back and decide, okay, am I just going to fly with whatever comes out of my mouth, or am I going to think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Take that extra time during this full moon cycle.
Right.
So that's just half the story for the fourth. What the other story is, and I love this transit, Mercury is moving into Aquarius as well. Again, that's a lot of air energy. Mercury
mm-hmm.
is the planet of communications.
Mm.
Its tarot association is the magician. The magician is wonderful because he pulls from all four elements, fire, earth, air, and water, and he creates his own reality. He's combined with the hope and the inspiration of star in this particular transit. So here's some things to remember about Mercury. Mercury is the fastest moving planet in our solar system. That's why it's named after the messenger of the gods. It travels at a rate of approximately 30 miles per second. It completes an orbit of the sun in under 90 days. So when Mercury moves, ain't nobody sleeping. There's a lot to take in and a lot to think about. Mercury is notorious for its retrograde cycles. A lot of people fear those. We have to learn, especially now, to get out of that fear and to understand what's going on. So as Mercury moves into Aquarius, this is the house, this is the sign of the 11th house of the zodiac. This is about groups and goals, idealism and vision. Mercury, the planet of communications, also governs intellect. And because it moves so quickly, we have to stay mindful where it is at all times during the year. Under Aquarius's domain, Mercury's skills influence our careers, our reputation, and some societal structures like corporations, governments, agencies. So it's going to be important to watch what Congress is doing right now. If you work in the business world and you're involved in the corporate structure, keep an eye on the upper echelons and see what the communication is or the lack of it is.
And how long is this cycle?
It's for the transit, and it's only a few days. I'm trying to think when the next egress is. Mercury, I think, it enters Pisces in March. So
we have March, where we have this accelerated energy?
Yeah, and this particular, Mercury's always got accelerated energy, but
mm-hmm.
where we've got this big ideas and this goal setting, this kind of thing is from Aquarius. It's a wonderful merit because there's a human component that enters Mercury's intellect. They understand the heart of a person's motivations. And understanding
mm-hmm.
motivations is very, very important. So Mercury still has this innate intellectual detachment, but he gains perspective and understanding the human psyche. This is...
Mm-hmm.
Translates into more of an ability to communicate. So if you've got goals and ideas and things that about your job or in your personal life, this is the time to start to communicate them. Now, all that being said, later in the month, I think it's the 21st, Mercury goes into retrograde, and that lasts until February 11th when it goes direct again. Again, the tarot cards to watch, the magician and the star. But... it's a little bit more about missing connections. That's always the stuff about Mercury retrograde. Communications, travel things, they all kind of go askew. So all that can be combated by just staying present and focused. The handy tips for Mercury retrograde cycles are you don't try to start anything new, like don't try to determine a new contract or, you know, start a new project. Revise what you have. Our words are very important with Mercury retrograde. Revisit, revise, revitalize. Cosmically, Mercury retrograde is a time for us to pull out deeper information with the information we have. It's to take it to a whole other level, to absorb it, to make it part of our soul. So if you have new concepts coming in now, you take those into retrograde and you work on them. You chew on them for a while, and then they become part of you, and you don't have to concentrate as hardly. It comes as automatic as breathing. That's the beauty of Mercury retrograde. So again, don't fear it, guys.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just the first 4 days of the month.
This is going to be a wild ride this year, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. And it's going to be grand. It really, really is. So starting on the 12th, Mars, the warrior planet, moves into Pisces. And so Mars's tarot association is the Tower. And that's a swift, unexpected change. And in order for us to have transformations, we have to have that change. We have to have a game changer. And that's what the Tower represents. So people out there who have seen stuff on movies and, oh, it's the Tower of Destruction, the world's ending. No. What this means is you get a burst of energy through your life that you get to ride and become with that. This is an exciting thing. Sometimes change is messy, but it's all about how you deal with that change, and that's the lesson in that card. So for Pisces, of course, the planetary association, or the tarot association, excuse me, is the moon. This is a water sign. People in creative fields are going to get a tremendous boost to their imaginations and their intuition during this transit. Mars in Pisces engages life through people, their ideas, your own ideas, and you get in touch with your own chosen passion. And there may be a tendency to take on other people's responsibilities because sometimes Mars wants to fall on the sword for everybody around him. That's the one pitfall with Mars is, you know, it's like, let me do it. You know, I'm Robin Hood. I'm the lone avenger. It's a team out there. So you got to watch that. Also, you need to watch out for lack of focus because Pisces is a very dreamy, intuitive sign. It's also... you know, its ruling planet is Neptune. And so what this buildup on the 12th is there's going to be a conjunction forming between Mars in Pisces with Neptune, and it's forming a roughly shaped square with Saturn in Sagittarius. So this will be a highly dreamy and intuitive time. Expect that your meditations are going to be a lot deeper, lots of creativity surrounding that energy. But the thing is, you can feel a little exposed and a little raw, so it's important to stay grounded.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, let's see. And we're now at the middle of the month, so we come into
this year starting out with fireworks, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is great stuff. So, it's like, you know, in one of my other lives, I also write. So I'm looking particularly forward to these early transits coming on because I know they're going to give me that creative drive I need to lay down some serious words and you know, work with my rough draft and all this kind of stuff. So get out there. If you paint, if you do macrame, whatever you do, do it from your soul and do it authentically. This is a great time to make serious strides in the creative process. So then we've got, yeah, it is. It's just an amazing time. So we've got the Sun in Aquarius. It's on January 20th. This is all the people born under that sign, you know, roughly for the next 30 days are Aquarians. And again, that tarot association is the star. It's the element of air. And people born under this sign, they're walking contradictions. They can be shy and sensitive and artistic on one hand, and then logical, contrary, and aloof on the other. And they're very complex individuals. So some of your noted Aquarians are Virginia Woolf, James Dean, Mozart, and Lord Byron. And try getting them in a party. Imagine what that dialogue would be like. So Aquarius is ruled by the planet Uranus. And that's freewheeling, free-thinking attitudes and thought processes. It's a planet of rebellion.
Aquarius sun. I know that very well.
It co-rules. It does, you know, and this is the time for it. We've got that whole once in 80 years, Uranus and Pluto kind of link up and do this square pattern. And so this is the one we're having. Aquarius is also co-ruled by Saturn, which is the planet. It's the hall monitor. I call it the hall monitor of the zodiac because it teaches us things through lessons. And it doesn't do it to break us. It does it to make us stronger. And sometimes it likes us strong and we want to say, leave me alone, go pick on somebody else.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Uranus's corresponding arcana card is the Fool. And this is key to thinking about Aquarius because it's an open, optimistic heart. And it's coupled with a faith in divine intervention. So Aquarians love to try anything new. And they'll flip from one thing to another without staying long enough to acquire any real mastery. The new, the different is their passion, and they are an early adopter that you hear about. If there's new technical gadgets and so forth, Aquarians are right there at the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Yeah. So, my gosh, I can't believe how much time we have left. Not much, so I'm going to kind of hurry through this. On the 20th, as the sun goes into Aquarius, the moon comes into Aquarius. So we have a new moon in Aquarius. So the High Priestess is always a tarot association. Again, highly intuitive time. The thing to remember about new moons is they set the emotional template for the next lunar cycle. So that's what we want to take a look at. New moons are about detaching from people and situations that trap us, particularly an Aquarian new moon, because they demand extra freedom, and they don't like a strong emotional context in their lives. So
mm-hmm.
you've got to learn to, during this new moon phase coming up on January 20th, you want to respect boundaries, yours as well as other people's. Try to find, you know, if you harness this energy and you embrace it, you get this jolt of idealism and an enhanced intuition and creativity. But, you know, you've got to kind of watch that you don't get trapped into dogma. Yeah, so you want to watch that. Again, any of these transits, if you have planets or the sign, you know, that these transits are involved, you're going to feel this stuff much deeper than anybody else. So we're going to end up the month with Venus's move to Pisces. Venus is the Empress, remember, and Pisces is the moon, the element being water. So the sign of the fish emboldens our intuitions and our ability to empathize with relationships. What's also amazing is Vale's part, and we are so much more imaginative and creative. And not only in the energy of which we produce things, but more in how we express ourselves and our affection for others to them. We also crave more affection in return. Venus in Pisces is a little footloose and fancy-free. There's a degree of insecurities that comes with this transit, maybe even a little fickleness. But the thing to remember is that Pisces, they're generous, amazing, intuitive people. And so we get to draw on this energy that helps us kind of instinctively know what our partner needs, kind of how to woo them, how to shore them up, what to ask of them in return for ourselves. So this is going to be a good transit, I think.
And that starts when?
That starts on January 27th. And let's see, Venus enters Aries on February 20th. So
okay.
We've got about a month here. Yeah.
Okay.
So now I kind of want to go over some PowerPoints that we've got coming up in 2015 that everybody needs to pay attention. So Saturn's
yes.
transit of Sagittarius. Yeah. Saturn's moved on from Scorpio, the planet of the sign of transformation, but it goes retrograde on June 14th and slides back to Scorpio. So that's going to give us some challenges that are going to transform us. This is pivotal because people need to know that during this time, you get a one last opportunity to release your junk, to get rid of that stuff that's been holding you back. So let's hit it, people. You know, meditate, ground, do the things you need to do. Scorpio Saturn also forms a square with Neptune during this time. This is going to create kind of a conflict between the practicality in our lives and our desires, our wishes, our pipe dreams, and even our real dreams. So that flipping back to Saturn gives us a chance, flipping back to Scorpio kind of gives us a chance to take a look at, okay, am I being practical? Am I way out there, out of boundaries and stuff that I cannot possibly in this lifetime manifest? By that kind of stuff, I mean, yeah, I think I want to take up brain surgery next week, you know, when you've never been to medical school.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kind of stuff that we've got to pull back from. The last Uranus-Pluto exact square comes in March. And remember that Uranus will still stay in Aries until 2017, Pluto in Capricorn until 2024. Uranus in Aries is individualism, it's freedom, it's reform, it's this rebellion, it's this revolution. And Pluto in Capricorn is structural change, system overhauls. So you're going to see regimes topple, crises in different forms in government, and pivotal societal attitudes change, a lot of them for the better. Yeah, there's going to be some shaky ground, but things are going to start changing. As the squares, they're never going to come exact again, not for another 80 years. So
okay.
Then you also have Jupiter. Yeah, yeah, this is good stuff. We're ready to move on. We've identified the problems. Now comes the phase of fixing it. So Jupiter goes into Leo. This is very good because this is an expansive, lucky energy. With Leo, it's more involved with the self. Well, Jupiter is in Leo now, but this has been more of an ego, self-actualizing expansivity. So Jupiter moves into Virgo in August. This is more of a selfless, this is giving and of service to others. So now we're seeing that expansive go to pick up everybody in our societies. And this is global, remember, because we're all on the same little dust ball. So... In Venus in Leo is from June to October. Venus goes retro in there. That's why she's in Leo from June to October. It's a prideful time, and there's going to be white caps in the ego. It's going to be very easy to offend people and to be offended. That's if you let your ego lead the way. So it's very, very important that you don't do that, that you stay grounded, that, you know, there is no I in team.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing.
Wow, it's
is
a good indication
square.
Too. If your ego's in charge, if you're having issues during that time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So pay heed. The power square in August is a big buildup. That's between Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter in Leo, and it squares Saturn in Scorpio because Saturn's in retrograde. This is a pivotal time for you to monitor your vibration level, your attitudes. This is the time to lock that ego in a box. I can't say that enough. It's like Linda says, so much of our problems come from egos.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it in a nutshell.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of information.
It is.
Looks like it's
going to
be a very sped up year. It looks like we're going to go through the gauntlet from what I've written down and what you've expressed to us in the show today. Is I think that this is going to be like one of those roller coaster years again, but in a higher vibration. I think that we'll have more clarity this year as things happen. We'll have more understanding and clarity. And I think we're still cleaning ourselves out, you know, to hold more light. That's what I think all this is about, is facing all of our shadows, you know, let's face it, instead of tucking it away and not dealing with it, you know, we're getting pushed to the point where we don't really have a choice. We have to face it, and we have to deal with it, and we have to heal and move forward, because we're going to hold more light. And it's according to how painful you want your experience to be to how you clean yourself out and clean your field out.
I agree. The planet is crowded, but here's the thing. There's always room for expansion into light, onto other vibrations and other planes. So that's where we have to take our new exploration. When people say that, oh, we've explored everything on Earth, no. Just in this dimension, there's a lot of other stuff out there, and collectively as a species, if we're going to keep going, this is the next great move. You know,
that's
think 2001.
It's important for us to realize that it's our responsibility to upgrade our light as often as we can, because that's what we're here to do, and that's our responsibility. Don't put it off. The more we wake up, the more the people that are connected to our lives wake up. So it looks like we reached the end of our show today. We've already used up the 30 minutes, darn it. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to us today. And I guess we'll talk to you again next week at 8:30.
Yep, we sure will. We're going to be going over resolutions.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Okay, yeah, resolutions. I see. Okay, well, we'll talk about that next week then. So thanks for listening, guys. Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.